This podcast is brought to you by our Father's Day special. Get Dad something he'll love. Get him a Buy American, Support America t-shirt. If you buy today, you get one of Howie's awesome books for free. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click the banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Were you meaning to criticize Vice President Biden for wearing a mask yesterday?
No, Biden can wear a mask. I thought that was fine. I wasn't criticizing him at all. Why would I ever do a thing like that?
Do I detect a note of sarcasm?
Are you kidding me? This baby is off the charts.
He's trying to belittle you for wearing a mask.
He's a fool, an absolute fool. To talk that way. This macho stuff. Presidents are supposed to lead, not engage in folly and be falsely masculine.
Come on, Donald. Come on, man. How many push-ups you want to do here, pal?
I would like to be able to be back in high school and just have he and I in a room.
I hope I've demonstrated I can take a punch. And if I'm one nominee, he's going to understand what punches mean.
And you want to check my shape on? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The Delaware used to be part of Pennsylvania.
That's right. But we declared our independence on December the 7th, by the way. You know, it's not just D-Day. On December the 7th, it's not just D-Day.
A date which will live in infamy.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Knowing it wouldn't make a difference, he jokingly asked if being married to me might move him up in the queue. He thought it might get a laugh. It didn't. And to be honest, I wasn't laughing either when it was relayed to me. My husband made a failed attempt at humor.
Look, everybody knows I botched a joke.
Unchained and unstoppable.
So are the people there just not worried about it, Cal? Are they not worried about their own personal safety?
I haven't met anybody who is. But you can see, nobody's wearing them. Nobody's...
Including the cameraman.
There you go, including the cameraman. Yeah.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
We're going to have that guy who busted the MSNBC camera crew in Geneva Lake, Wisconsin on later on in the show. That was TV gold. That's what live television is all about, baby. And, you know, the thing is, you're supposed to be able to come back a little better than Cal, whatever his name did. You know, he just basically tossed it back to the studio as he melted into a puddle.
That's right up there with the Hall of Fame moments, like Anderson Cooper wading through a raging river.
Right, and then the camera pulls out and says nothing there. Yeah, it was hilarious. And what made it even better was the guys wearing the Green Bay Packers sweatshirt. That's just it's so classic, you know, for Wisconsin. Anyway, welcome to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. We got a jam-packed show here today. We got a lot of Joe Biden stuff, as you just heard. Joe Biden unstuck in time yet again. This time he's confusing D-Day and December 7th. 1941, or whatever date that Delaware seceded from Pennsylvania. He made it sound like he was there, Taylor. You know?
He probably was.
I mean, Maine seceded from Massachusetts back in 1820. It was part of the Missouri Compromise. You know, they let in one free state, which was Maine, out of Massachusetts, and then Missouri as a slave state. But I never claimed to have been there. I don't remember the celebrations.
So he's confusing three dates. December 7th, Pearl Harbor. June 6th, D-Day. And June 15th, 1776 is when Delaware seceded from Pennsylvania.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, you looked that up.
Yeah.
Wow. So he really was unstuck in time. Good Lord. We're going to play some of the Biden cuts, but I just wanted to start out the show. I saw this thing just before we went on the air, and it is one of the best judicial decisions I have ever read, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. We're also frustrated about the shutdowns and the insanity of these petty tyrants making these rulings that make absolutely no sense and are destroying our lives for no reason. And a judge in Clay County, Illinois, which I guess is downstate. He is there's a judge. His name is Michael McHaney, a state court judge. On Friday, he ruled from the bench in a case brought by a Clay County small business owner against Illinois Governor J.B. the Hutt Pritzker, contesting the validity of Pritzker's showdown order. So Red State ran excerpts from Judge McHaney's rulings, which I'm going to read to you right now. And this is going to bring, I think, a smile to your face. Since the inception of this insanity, the following regulations, rules, or consequences have occurred. I won't get COVID if I get an abortion, but I will get COVID if I get a colonoscopy. Selling pot is essential, but selling goods and services at a family-owned business is not. Pot wasn't even legal, and pot dispensaries didn't even exist in this state until 5 months ago. And in that 5 months, they have become essential. But a family-owned business in existence for five generations is not. A family of six can pile in their car and drive to Carlisle Lake without contracting COVID. But if they all get in the same boat, they will. This is, again, an Illinois judge writing this. We are told that kids rarely contract the virus and sunlight kills it, but summer youth programs, sports programs are canceled. Four people can drive to the golf course and not get COVID. But if they play in a foursome, they will. If I go to Walmart, I won't get COVID. But if I go to church, I will. Murderers are released from custody, while small business owners are threatened with arrest if they have the audacity to attempt to feed their families. Why can't we get some judges like this? These are just a few of the examples of rules, regulations, and consequences that are arbitrary, capricious, and completely devoid of anything even remotely approaching common sense. The defendant in this case orders you to stay home. That would be Pritzker. The defendant in this case orders you to stay home and pronounces that if you leave the state, you are putting people in danger. But his family members travel to Florida and Wisconsin because he deems such travel essential. Our initial rationale why the rules don't apply to one initial rationale why the rules don't apply to him is that his family farm had animals that needed to be fed. Try selling that argument to farmers who have had to slaughter their herds because of disruption in the supply chain. When rules do not apply to those who make them, said Judge Michael McHaney, people are not being governed, they are being ruled. Make no mistake, these executive orders are not laws, they are royal decrees. Illinois citizens are not being governed, they are being ruled. The last time I checked, Illinois citizens are also Americans, and Americans don't get ruled. The last time a monarch tried to rule Americans, a shot was fired that was heard round the world. That led to the birth of a nation consensually governed based upon a document which ensures that on this day, in this or any American courtroom, tyrannical despotism will always lose, and liberty, freedom, and the Constitution will always prevail. Let's hear it for Judge McHaney. That was really good. 844-5. We're going to try to get him on tomorrow to discuss this. I mean, that sums it all up. That sums it all up. We tried to get Karen Polito today on to discuss. She did one of these online interviews with Boston Magazine, which I didn't know they were still printing, but they are, or they exist in some form. So, Taylor, how did that work? How did we submit questions?
They were submitted in a written format, and they were ignored.
Our questions were. I thought we sent in some really good questions. By the way, I tweeted that out just now. If you want at Howie Carr Show, I tweeted out the. It's from Powerline Blog, but it's you can pick it up off my tweet account. Let me go over the questions here that we had for Karen Polito that were ignored. Did the gathering at your brother's house in the Polito Bureau exceed 10 people? Did you and or your family violate the guidelines on social gatherings as outlined in phase one of your administration's reopening plan. This was the next one. I was one I insisted on. Was the gathering catered? Was there alcohol served? Were there people playing basketball at the gathering? Yeah, I think that may have just been, you know, another instance where they were violating all the protocols by playing. Some of the kids in the family were, you know, had some of their buddies over, and they were just all shooting a few hoops, which nobody in the city can do because they, you know what? They took down the hoops. They took down the hoops because it's one of these things, as Judge McHenry would say, you don't get COVID by watching a 15-year-old basketball game on ESPN, but you do get COVID from actually shooting a few hoops down at the neighborhood court. Right? That's the way it works. So what kind of questions did they ask, Taylor? Do we know?
They were very softball questions is what I gathered from it. I wasn't able to watch it live, but I'm sure you'll be able to read all about it in the next edition of Boston Magazine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a really hard-hitting interview.
Found in a local recycling bin near you.
Yeah, all right. 844-500-4242. We have a jam-packed day here. We'll tell you about the Twitter executive who's been assigned to fact-check Donald Trump. He's everything you would expect him to be. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Were you meaning to criticize Vice President Biden for wearing a mask yesterday? And can you explain why you've been tweeting about a conspiracy theory that has been proven to not be true?
Now, Biden can wear a mask, but he was standing outside with his wife, perfect conditions, perfect weather. They're inside, they don't wear masks, and so I thought it was very unusual that he had one on. But I thought that was fine. I wasn't criticizing him at all. Why would I ever do a thing like that? And your second question was? I couldn't hear you. Can you take it off? Because I cannot hear you.
I'll just speak louder, sir.
Oh, okay, because you want to be politically correct. Go ahead.
No, sir. I just want to wear the mask.
Go ahead.
No, sir. I just want to wear the mask. All those White House press people, they all, the males all have the same voice characteristics, shall we say. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. 2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should Congress reapprove the reauthorization of the secret FISA courts?
Yeah, President Trump has been tweeting out asking the Republicans to vote against it. It's coming up in the House. Senator Rand Paul, who's a civil libertarian of the first degree in Congress, he's also opposed to it. It gives them too much power. I say abolish the courts. Let them get their damn warrants in a regular U.S. district court like they do for everybody else.
89% say no, they should not be reauthorized.
Yeah. See, they've abused it too much, and you just can't keep that crowd honest. They're really horrible people. All right. 844-500-4242. I want to tell you, you know, there's this big dispute going on now. The Democrats, never letting a crisis go to waste, want to put in mail-in voting so they can cheat and steal the elections, even more so than they already are cheating and stealing the elections. And Republicans do it on occasion. I admit that. Everybody admits that. One of the special elections in North Carolina last year, was a congressional seat that was controlled by the Republicans. They had stolen the election basically with the ballot harvesting. So Republicans do it, but Democrats do it much, much more often. So Trump has been saying we can't have a mail-in voting because it'll lead to Democrats stealing the election, ballot harvesting, all this kind of stuff. There's this thing in justice, in law, called chain of custody. And, you know, if you have a piece of evidence, you have to have it in a chain of custody. You always have to know where it was. And I've had personal experience with that because we used to have a tape of an interview that Zip Connolly did, the crooked FBI agent who's now in prison down here. He was an FBI agent who was also a hitman for the mob. And so he gave an interview to the radio station. And at one point, the FBI was trying to take away his pension later on after he was convicted of racketeering, before he was convicted of the gangland hit down here in Florida. And so they came and they said, they found out that I had a copy of this interview that he'd given on the radio, like at that point, 10 years ago. So they came and they said, and I said, I handed it to him. I said, here it is. And they said, how long have you had this? And I said, since it happened. Since the interview happened, I got a recording of it just to have. And they said, where's it been? I said, it's been in my desk. And they said, well, was the desk locked? I said, no, it wasn't locked. It's my office desk. Of course it was. They couldn't use it because it had lost the chain of custody. So now they want to decide presidential elections with millions of ballots with no chain of custody. Just be printing them out and sending them off. And, you know, if you're unenrolled, say, in Massachusetts, people like Joe Kennedy are saying you should be sent a Democrat and a Republican ballot. And I think there are a couple other parties, too, maybe like Libertarian or Green. You know, so if you were unenrolled, you'd get four ballots in the mail. Are you kidding me? This is insane. So, of course, Donald Trump is saying anybody who studied it for more than 10 seconds, including Democrats, knows that this is a terrible, terrible plan. So Twitter, though, has decided that they put this mark on his account saying that, you can't trust what he says because he says there'll be a lot of mail-in fraud. And this policy is being implemented by a guy named Yoel Roth, not Joel Roth, Yoel Roth. He's the Twitter head of site integrity. Site integrity. Okay? He is a graduate of Swarthmore and the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. According to Roth's website, this is the guy who's policing Donald Trump's Twitter account. Roth's dissertation at the Annenberg School was on gay data. Roth has described his area of study as focusing on the privacy and self-expression choices of gay men using geosocial networking services like Grindr. Okay? His PhD was about the, quote, intersection of technology and sexuality. Most of my interests, he wrote, are in the construction of gay masculinity. In the wake of this is his own Twitter account. In the wake of the 2016 presidential election, he tweeted, this guy who's interested in gay intersectionality or whatever he said, I'm just saying we fly over those states that voted for a racist tangerine for a reason. Racist tangerine. He donated $100 to Hillary Clinton's campaign because we can't bleep around anymore. He wrote in January 2017, there are actual Nazis in the White House. This is the Unbiased Observer from Twitter. I'm Howie Clark.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Limmer guy says, why don't Republicans do the same thing Dems are doing and on the same scale? That way it wouldn't do them any good to dream up these scams if we're matching them tit for tat. If everybody was doing this kind of stuff, Limmer guy, it wouldn't be an election. Like, it wouldn't be an American election. It would be a Nicaraguan election or a Venezuelan election. You know, it'd be shootouts in the street. You know, cars would be ambushed and burned so that the ballot boxes couldn't get to the polls, to the counting stations to be quote unquote counted. You know, it's just got to be stopped, though. I mean, you can't allow this to happen. And the fact that the Democrats are all in on it. I mean, again, this is very serious. This is the every election is a Flight 93 election at this point. You can't let them win. Once they win, it's over. You know, they plan to do to us what they accuse us of wanting to do to them. That's the way you got to look at it. Anything they accuse us of. All right. 844-500-4242. Neil McCabe, I've known him for a long time. He's a reporter now for the Tennessee Star, which is a great website. And he's worked for OAN, among other things, the Pilot in Boston, which is the Archdiocese newspaper. And he wrote a great story about one of the whistleblowers at the Treasury Department and how she spotted all these hacks, including the wife of Jamie Raskin, the really loathsome Democrat congressman from Maryland, that were tapping in to Michael Flynn's financial records when they were in the Treasury. And just, I mean, think about that. I mean, again, this is another thing. You know, Richard Nixon, you know, maybe dreamed of checking people's finances when he was president, but he never did it. Anyway, so Neil McCabe is back now, and he's got another interesting story. He had an interview with the woman that was supposedly Michael Flynn's Russian girlfriend. I mean, this is just another complete concoction of the deep state and the FBI. They wanted to somehow make Michael Flynn a Russian agent, so they needed a you know, it's like, you know, they've seen too many James Bond movies. They needed a Russian secret agent, in this case a good-looking blue-eyed blonde at Oxford, who also has British citizenship, and to bring down Flynn. They ruined this woman's life. She's a married woman, and they said she was having an affair with Flynn, who she just met at a couple of parties. So she's suing all these people, all these deep state hacks that have destroyed her life. And Neil McCabe got an interview with her, and it's pretty interesting. So he's with us now, and he's going to talk about this. Neil, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Oh, absolutely, and thank you for name-checking the Pilot, which I used to call Boston's alternative paper.
They've written editorials criticizing me, but, you know, what Boston newspaper hasn't? So, well, tell us about
the... Hey, let me start here, Allie. Let me just lay it out for you real quick, okay? Mike Flynn retires as a 3-star general. He was the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, so he retired in 2014. And by all accounts, and I know people who served with him in Afghanistan and served under him in Iraq, he is the greatest military intelligence general that this country has ever produced. His innovations made the surge possible in Iraq, and he was brought to Afghanistan to do that same thing, and the integration of military intelligence and tactics on the ground was absolutely brilliant. And so having accomplished what he accomplished in Iraq and Afghanistan, it was obvious that he should be at DIA, and then he bumps heads with the Obama administration. They force him out. However, April of 2016, his top secret sensitive compartmentalized information clearance, which is the highest clearance our nation has. You can look at anything. You can ask about anything. It is renewed.
Yeah.
And then in August of 2016, the FBI is investigating him as a spy for Russia. What happened? Well, what happened is he started working on the Trump campaign.
Yeah, just like Papadopoulos' name got dropped in a story to the Washington Post, I think, because they needed some quote-unquote advisors, and so they just came up with this list of names, and and Papadopoulos thought, oh, this is a nice mention in the Washington Post, and destroyed his life.
Yeah, and so we've learned so many new words in the last few years, right? How many people, now everyone can say exculpatory, right? That used to be a hard word to pronounce. Everyone can now say exculpatory.
Yes.
What do people say to me now? You know, what is your predicate, right? Everyone talks about, well, what's the predicate for this? The predicate is the excuse for the FBI to target you. And that's what Svetlana Rakova, that's what she provided for them. Because she met with Flynn at, she was a student and she later became a fellow. She's a researcher at Cambridge University.
Yeah.
Flynn was at a dinner. It was like one of these spy dinners. And she made a presentation about her research into Russian spies in the 1930s. And this was sort of this sort of interest. She was there at the dinner. Flynn was there at the dinner. And she gave Flynn a vintage Stalin era Russian postcard. And that was basically the extent, right? This became extrapolated into a honeypot plot. And I'll give you another set of dates. On August 10th, 2016, the FBI opens investigations on Paul Manafort, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos. On August 11th and 12th, the legendary Stephen Halper, who was a longtime political and intelligence operator, meets with the FBI. That's Thursday, Friday. You go over the weekend. Monday is the 15th. On August 15th, lo and behold, the New York Times publishes the Paul Manafort Black Ledger from Ukraine that we now know is a forgery. So now he resigns from the Trump campaign. And then also on that day, Peter Strzok, the legendary counterintelligence officer for the FBI, sends a text to Lisa Page, a lawyer in the office of Deputy FBI Director Andrew
his girlfriend.
Strzok and Page, they became close, Howie, as close as a man and woman could get. And this text says, what about that insurance policy we were talking about in Andy's office? And then on the next day, August 16th, FBI opens on Flynn.
Well, let me get into some of this stuff. We're familiar with some of this stuff, but I want to get into this thing about this guy Halper. Now, he was getting paid over $1 million by various federal agencies. We don't even know. I don't think we even know how many federal agencies. It was DOD, Department of Defense, and also the FBI was paying him all kinds of money. Now, supposedly, this guy had a very bad reputation in Washington back in the 70s and 80s. Isn't that correct?
Well, I mean, it depends on, you know, whose bad reputation. It's, he was responsible for stealing President Jimmy Carter's debate briefing book and giving it to the Reagan campaign, his friend Bill Casey. So some people liked him for that.
I don't hate him for that. I was thinking of other things, actually. But anyway, he was making tons of money, right?
Oh, he had a phony bank that Oliver North was using as a front. I mean, the guy's been, his father-in-law, Ray Klein, was the deputy director of the CIA. Yeah. So he has been in these circles that between politics, he was actually, he was an undersecretary in the Reagan administration, I believe in the State Department. So, I mean, the guy's been around.
So let's go to this thing, this dinner, okay, where she meets General Flynn. Now, let me read you the quote from your story. This is from Halper. He told them he was an eyewitness and saw General Flynn and I leave together in a taxi. It is just not true. Halper was not at the event. My husband came and picked me up and left with his security detail. It is so crazy. The reporters ignored that General Flynn met his wife when he was 14 and that I am a mother. So Halper is just trying to get more money out of these agencies by claiming that he's caught this decorated three-star general in it with a Russian honeypot.
I would suggest to you, and I didn't put it in the article, Howie, but you know he was getting his money from the Office of Net Assessment, which is sort of this shadowy office in the Pentagon. Millions of dollars to write papers, right?
Millions.
The general found that of 800 of his footnotes were all bogus. Like, the reports were bogus. He was getting his millions.
What is he, does he know Christopher Steele? Did they go to the same graduate school?
I believe he was hired to fix the election. And that's what he was doing, because not only was he being paid by DOD, but now we know that he was not only just an informant, but he was an agent provocateur for the FBI, engaging. He offered to hire Papadopoulos. He invited Carter Page over his house in Great Falls. He's interacting with all these characters, trying to loop them in.
So then it goes on that they write all these spooks write that that this woman that you talked to, Svetlana, gave Flynn money and invited him to a Moscow dinner to celebrate the 10th anniversary of RT. That's the Russian-owned state broadcaster there on cable TV. And at the dinner, General Flynn sat at the same table as Russian President Vladimir Putin.
So then they say
the Russians presented Flynn with evidence of the payments in his relationship with Lukova, Svetlana, and they were able to flip him as if the guy who runs Russia is going to make the direct overture to this American spy. And by the way, as you point out, Flynn doesn't speak Russian and Putin doesn't speak English. So how would they be communicating for this deal to go down? It's not possible.
And there was a woman sitting behind them, and somebody waited for the woman to get up and snap the picture. But you can see the empty chair between the two men. They're not even looking at each other.
I like this quote from Svetlana in your story. And again, it's in the Tennessee Star. It's a really interesting story. It gives you a lot of background on the depths to which they went to sink Donald Trump and the people around him. The people going after Flynn always talk about the same three incidents: payments from the Russian government in 2015, the RT dinner, and his affair with me. Okay, so you have payments from the Russian government. So this thing was put together by, among others, Andrew McCabe, whose wife was getting payments from the Clinton campaign, right? His affair with me, it was also put together by Peter Strzok and Lisa Page from the FBI, who were having an affair together. So these people were, this is projection, isn't it? They're accusing other people of doing what they're doing.
You were talking about projection, in the beginning, when I was coming on. The other rule about the Obama administration is when they said they were doing something, they were doing the opposite. So when he said, we're doing nothing, we were defending the Second Amendment, no one supports Israel more than I do. It's almost like whatever they said they were doing was the clue to what they were really doing. The opposite.
Good Lord.
So she's trying to put it all together, and
didn't they throw the case out of court?
Well, what they did, she has to appeal, and she's going to appeal, and they put in their filing, and I didn't put it into the article because you only have so many words, sir. David Ignatius flew to Cambridge to interview her to ask her about the affair. She got in an argument. The reporters from the Wall Street Journal called, say, "Yeah, we're calling about your affair with Flynn," and she's like, "What affair? What are you talking about?" And they started arguing with her, trying to say, "No, your affair. We know all about it." She's like, "Who are you people?"
Yeah, and David Ignatius, the guy that he mentioned earlier, from the Washington Post, that's the guy who got the leaked transcript of the Flynn-Russian ambassador conversation. And whoever leaked that, again, as has been pointed out many times, is look, he could get up to 20 years, theoretically. I mean, that's a felony leak. And this is just disgraceful. I mean, there's so many layers here. And this woman was just collateral damage. But her life has been damaged, hasn't it?
Well, it's like Ray Donovan said, what office do I go to get my name back? I mean, it's classic, the Boston Globe, the corrections on page 7. It's like, forever she's going to be tagged as the mistress and the woman who tried to flip Flynn. And, even the payment to RT, that wasn't even from the Russian government. RT paid, he had the same speakers bureau as Andy McCabe. And it was the speakers bureau that was negotiating over the fee. The Russians didn't even want to pay him as much as they did. If they really wanted to flip Flynn, they would have given him $1 million. I think he got $45,000.
Well, as we know from the Steele dossier, they were willing to give Carter Page $11 billion, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
$11 billion. That's what they said.
Right.
Neil, this is a great story. We appreciate it. We'll tweet out this story, too, as well. People can go to, what's the website? TennesseeStar.com. They can find it right there, TennesseeStar.com. But we'll tweet it out right now. Thanks, as always, Neil. Keep us informed. These are great stories. A lot of good background information about the deep state. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
781 says, why are all these people suing the government? I think, you know, Carter Page is obviously going to sue the government. I think Flynn will sue the government when this matter, this nightmare is over. And Svetlana has been trying to sue, but she hasn't had much luck. I mean, the problem is the government has unlimited resources, and they delay. I mean, the old saying, you can't fight City Hall. If you can't fight City Hall, how do you fight the federal government? And it just goes on and on. She said she tried to sue, and it's been thrown out. And, then she tries to, I'm sure she's been trying to sue Stefan Halper. Pickle nose, I call him. And, he's going to say he can't tell anything because it's covered, it's secure, national security, all that kind of stuff. Isn't it astounding, though? I mean, this guy just basically went to cocktail parties and screwed around, didn't do anything worth a damn after he stole the Jimmy Carter briefing book in, 1980? Hasn't done anything since then. And he's getting over $1 million from the Pentagon. It'd be one thing if he was writing a report for $5,000 and it was a real report. He's just hanging around. He's hanging around going to cocktail parties at Cambridge or Oxford, wherever the hell he was. Cambridge, I think it was. And just doing this stupid stuff and trying to infiltrate the Trump campaign. And, people say this is, considering they thought Hillary was going to win, this is kind of complicated. But they don't have anything to do. I mean, if they weren't doing this, they'd have to be investigating, things like terrorism or shooters at Parkland High School or Boston Marathon bombers. You know, they'd have to be doing real work. This is more fun. They get to go to more cocktail parties. They get to fly to London. Where would you rather be, London or Kabul? I'm Howie Carr.